Hello? 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 All right. Hello, this is Lainey Leonards, and I'm here to talk to you again. This is happening. This is all happening. This is not a dream. This is not a test. We're doing this. It's going on. Welcome to It's Lainey. I'm here, and probably five of you are there, but everybody's out there somewhere. So take solace in the fact that we'll find them. We'll find them. We'll hunt them down. We'll track them like a dog. We'll put them in the scopes of our rifle and we'll shoot them because that's what a professional hitman does. And that's what you're here to learn today is how to kill an enemy. First thing you have to do, imagine them in a diaper. It takes their defenses down in your mind. It makes you realize that they're weak. You're strong. You're daddy. You can change the diaper. You know what I'm saying? You brought that life into the world. You can take it out. A woman really birthed him, but that's not a big deal because you're a dude. You don't think about shit like that. Everything is yours. If you see it, you own it. Why not piss on a couch? It doesn't matter because you could just cover it up with a bunch of your wife's fucking throw pillows. You know what I mean? Hate those goddamn things. Jack off on them all over the place. This has been Lainey Leonards with my imitation of a man. All right. Well, here we are. Back for another episode. I'm excited to be here because there's nowhere else for any of us to be. So let's just savor this time that we have together. We are all at home in this pandemic and we're all in it together. So let's start with a little bit of news of the day. The news of the day is my emotional state. We'll just open it up with our feelings here, won't we? And I'll leave a little moment of silence for you to say your feelings. And I'll leave that moment of silence after the podcast when it ends and you're sitting by yourself. So that can be your time to tell me your feelings. I won't listen because it's, you know, that's a lot of emotional labor for me to take on without any sort of monetary gain or any sort of reciprocal romantic relationship. So if you're not making me come, I'd rather that you just say your emotions into the asshole of your cat and hope that he keeps that secret unless he, you know, hawks up a hairball and then it comes out the other end of him. So make sure that if you put your secrets on one end, they don't come out the other end. That's the secret about having a cat is they'll eat your secrets and then shit them out where your enemies can see. Again, we'll find them. We'll hunt them down. We'll put them in diapers and we'll get rid of them. I'm the cleaner. All right. Well, today I am feeling fine. I am feeling fine because yesterday I grappled with the reality of my impending doom. I think I will be fine. I think you'll be fine. However, what the fuck? What the fuck is happening? I don't know. Yesterday, it truly hit me for the first time, and I think it's hitting people at different points, but I am now going into full lockdown, which is what is freaking me out. So with the pandemic, I've been, you know, still kind of making my best efforts to be able to make money, to be able to pay my rent. And at this point, it's become clear that I can't do it. You know, my job doesn't need me anymore. I'm laid off from both of my jobs. And now I have to face the reality that I'm getting a bunch of groceries. I am keeping them in my house and I am staying in for however many months. Not that I was isolating before, but I had a car so I could, you know, you can still drive around the city, but by yourself. So you're not infecting anybody, but it feels more mobile. It feels like you could, you know, you could get to the safe house if you needed to. I don't have one because I'm poor, but you could get some cigarettes if you needed to. That's what I'm saying. And also it's just like a little haven, but, essentially, yesterday, I realized that I can't make any money doing any of my jobs anymore. And I freaked TF out. I spent the whole day being like anxious and kind of almost crying. Somebody was telling me about all the people who were dying, and that made me upset, obviously. Oh, what an inconvenience for me to be upset. I have the privilege of living in an attic, you know? So I think it's hit a lot of my other friends or a lot of the people I know or a lot of just humans a lot earlier than me. maybe because they I work kind of more in a looser fashion, maybe more gig based. So I'm not sent home from an office or you know, the changes in my life aren't dictated by my boss. So my life hadn't been changed a huge amount because I usually stay in, make paintings, see the few other people in my life. A lot of them live in my house with me, some of my good friends. So since we all live in the same house together, those are the people I'm quarantined with. So I was able to do my art projects, see my friends, and pick up things from the store when I needed to, because I have hand sanitizer and a car. Not to brag, but I also have big tits. So that's the top three. Let's get into it. I'm looking for love. Real quick, I do have a lot of free time right now. So if you want to be in love with me just like for a minute, I would really love that. I'm not saying it's going to go past the quarantine, but I do need attention that I am not receiving due to an international crisis, which is taking the spotlight off me and putting it onto germs. You know, those aren't hot. They don't have an ass that won't quit, and they won't have a sense of humor that makes people uncomfortable on first dates and every date after that. So what I'm saying is, consider me to be your quarantine girlfriend. That means that you drop off snacks outside my door. We can write each other letters and leave them for each other. Like, they can be love notes or whatever. I'll make you some drawings. That's cool. I like to do that. Send me some selfies of what you're doing. I'm pretty bored, so I will take just whatever, you know, just for an update. Doesn't really matter where it comes from at this point. I'll just take an update, you know? What else is going on out there? Oh, pretty much nothing? Cool. What kind? What flavor of nothing is happening? Because I want to know. Oh, deep sigh. The point is that yesterday it really hit me that this pandemic is happening. We're going on full lockdown. I have no money. I have negative $10 in my bank account. And once I get this food, I'm going to be indoors. So, you know, good news. There are no expenses for us right now. Everybody's Skyping, which is great. And, but it's the, you know, and hopefully I'll be getting my unemployment soon, but the dwindling of resources accompanied by the lack of interpersonal connection and the lack of normalcy and the threat of a spreading virus. Surprisingly, what a surprise, that melange results in depression and panic. I will say, though, that I do feel like I've trained, I'm well prepared to handle this. I'm essentially those guys who lift the tires and play with the ropes, you know, because I have done so much heavy lifting with sadness that I really feel like I'm in shape, not physically, but mentally. So, and that's a joke, but I am kind of serious in a way, because I, you know, of course, this is impacting a lot of people's mental health or their depression, or, you know, impacting your routine can be a big change that's, you know, emotionally upsetting. But I do feel like I'm having this panic and sadness and fear for a reason. And it's probably about the same amount of panic and sadness I fear and fear that I have if I go off my meds. So now there's just a reason for my mental illness. So maybe people will always say, like, oh, why does everybody have depression now? Like, people didn't used to, you know, have depression. Like, that didn't exist. You just, like, prayed and worked harder. And it's like, well, you know, I had depression because I've been training, and I'm ready now. I'm fucking ready. I'm going to emerge from this crisis. My brain's going to be ripped, just jacked. I'm going to have a six pack on my frontal lobe. Do you understand me? I am ready for this. I am so ready. I'm going to have groceries in my house. Excuse me. I'm doing well. I took a shower today. Hello, 10 out of 10, gold medal. Bitch, you got this. I'm wearing jeans right now. No, I didn't sleep all night. Yes, it is 6:17 in the morning, but that's just because that's fine. Don't worry about it. It has nothing to do with a disruptive sleeping coping mechanism to go with my anxiety and depression. But what I'm saying is that I'm prepared for this. And now that the virus is here and we have all this bad news, I feel horrible, but not any worse than usual. And now there's a reason for it. So essentially, I knew it was coming. I was undercover. I was training for this. How do I feel every week? Pretty emotional. Ups and downs. Big things, little things. Did you take your mood stabilizers? Who knows? You're a wild card. You're a fun, manic pixie dream girl. Lainey, you are cute because you're crazy. And now you're ready to wear a fucking sleeveless leather, I guess, bustier to the apocalypse. You got to hold two guns. I'm probably going to find like a knife somewhere because I'm not going to have any guns, but I could get some, like, I have like some kitchen knives too, and they're shitty, but I'm going to take those with me. That'd be good. In the apocalypse, I would have knives, although probably you'd have to get some better stuff like a tank and a gun. And I mean, we could probably find a gun somewhere if we pooled our resources. I'm sure they're out there. Let's not put this on the radio. What I'm saying is that the pandemic has just struck me, and all of a sudden I realized, holy shit, my whole life is changing. And I think everyone's, for now, and I think everybody's realized that, and we're really realizing it at different times. So I want to tell you, I see you, I understand, and it's normal to be freaked out. It's normal to be depressed about it. It's normal for the disruption in your schedule to make you, you know, feel like you're lazy. But the truth is that we're all in this together. And if you're extra sad because you have depression, think about this. Listen, your brain is just right this time. So essentially, you got an A+ in reaction. I mean, that's what they say about anxiety, right? It's a built-in evolutionary response to danger that is now heightened since we don't have to hunt. We don't have the same kinds of overactive anxieties that will help us to defend ourselves from the elements. However, and they cause you a lot of issues in your normal life, normally. However, you have been preparing for this with your anxiety. You are so fucking ready. You knew this was coming. You're reacting appropriately. Nobody can say you're not. And guess what? Now they're having that same exact feeling. And you know what's going to happen? They don't know what it is. They're going to freak out. And you're going to be like, yeah, put on some pajama pants. It's not a big fucking deal. You just got to yell into your brain, this will pass. Yell into your brain, fight it, fight it. I usually put my fist up in the air, but nothing else, just so I keep one part of my body moving, to remind myself that you can move even when it's dark. So wiggle your toes or whatever. I think everything's a success. So if I get my, if I'm depressed and I'm sitting on the couch, but I wave my arms a little bit, I feel like, well, I'm keeping it going. I'm staying active. I'm moving around. Which is why I am a mental health advocate, guru, and genius. So the pandemic is getting to all of us. I am here to tell you that your feelings are a lot, and they're valid. And if you were depressed before this, turns out you were just right. What's up, everybody? Suck my feelings, dick. Deal with it. If you were already poor, I think you've prepared really well for this situation because you understand you just got to make it month to month. Who knows what's going to happen? You know what? Those techies who get laid off, sure, they might have money. They might be able to buy whatever, food, fucking toilet paper. But you know what they can't buy? Resourcefulness and a cool head under pressure and an acclimation to the sensation of not being able to pay any of your bills. So, added benefit, if you, regardless of what's happening in your life right now, if you can't pay any of your bills, it's because of the pandemic and nobody can say otherwise. So everything that you feel and do is justified right now. If you're poor, it's because of the pandemic. If you're depressed, it's because of the pandemic. If you're not having sex, it's because of the pandemic. And if you're hot, that's on you. So really the only thing that you've done here is be a hot, smart, cool person who's baking bread, which is the new big thing in the pandemic, is bake some bread, which is cool. But, you know, everybody and their mother is on social media now. So I'm seeing a lot more of people I like and don't like. And I have seen some people singing on the internet, and I do not care for that. Leave that somewhere else, because bitch, don't hold the guitar if you can't play it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It looks cute. Take your fucking flower wreath headband off and stop doing Taylor Swift covers and get back to your fucking your boyfriend's asshole. I don't know. But the big news today is not statistics about the pandemic. It's not information about the upcoming presidential race and what implications the pandemic will have on the voters in terms of healthcare initiative. The real news today is that I'm Lainey. It's me. And here we are together as friends, platonic friends. Don't stop asking me. It's not cool for you to, you're being really thirsty right now. So it's just, we're just friends right now. And I don't, you'd have to buy me some stuff for me to consider it. So no meth, just, I don't want that. It's not my thing, but we're only friends. So see you soon. Welcome back. Today, I am very excited to share with you some new information. About 2 to 3 people within the past week have asked me a question, what happened to this celebrity? And so today I'm going to spill the tea, dish the goss, juicy secrets. I'm going to let it all hang out. You're going to hear about what the deal is with Amanda Bynes. Yes. Await with bated breath what you're about to hear, because I don't know what it is, but something about quarantine has people thinking about Amanda Bynes, and I want to satisfy that curiosity. So here we go. I did research for this episode. I researched Amanda Bynes, and I am going to talk about her entire life up until this point. So if you're thinking that this is not interesting and you don't want to hear it, shut the fuck up and listen, because I don't want to hear your shit. I don't want you to give me sass right now. We're in this together, and I always say this has to be reciprocal, for better or for worse. This is going to be better. You're going to like it. Even if you're like you like Mountain Dew and NASCAR and nipple piercings. I don't know. Who doesn't like nipple piercings? But here's the deal. I don't know if Amanda Bynes has them. Maybe that could be something that she has. I don't think she does. It didn't mention it, but I looked on the internet, okay? And I'm going to tell you what was on the internet so you don't have to use your eyes. Use your ears. You're bored. You need friends. Here we go. All right, everybody, here is Amanda Bynes. So I will start by telling you what I think of Amanda Bynes. So the first time I remember seeing her is, I remember, of course, she had that, the Amanda show. And I remember she had that. All I really remember about it is that it was a sketch show. It was like kind of funny, which is, for a sketch show, I think, excelling. It was kind of funny, which, blowing my mind. Sketch shows usually are like, they're usually almost funny, but her sketch show was kind of funny, which is impressive for a child, you know? So I remember seeing her in that. And of course, I was like, why does she have a show and I don't? And I'll explain it to you right now. But here we go. So Amanda Bynes was born on April 3rd, 1986. I was born in 1990, so that makes her 4 years older than me. So currently, she is 34 years old. So she was born in Thousand Oaks, California, April 3rd, which makes her an Aries, which is a fire sign. I Googled it, and apparently that's tumultuous. So the stars made her this way. She started acting at 7, appearing in Nestle Crunch commercials, a bunch of different commercials over a kind of a span of 6 months before she went to, wait for it, a comedy camp at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles. An agent from Nickelodeon went up to her mom and was like, hey, Miss Bynes lady, your daughter should try out, that's audition, should audition for this TV. That's what he called it. He said she should audition for this TV. And she did. And they gave it to her, which is like, okay, hello, comedy camp? Are you fucking kidding me? All the articles kept saying her comedic timing was amazing. And it's like, she was a child. It's not really a thing, I don't think. I think you could tell any child to pause it at whatever moment and you could get them to do that. So I don't know that her innate sense of timing was really that big a deal, but maybe she was a prodigy. I'm not sure. The thing, though, is that I have been performing at the Laugh Factory Chicago for like 4 years, and where the fuck is my agent? You know what I mean? I didn't get to be on Nickelodeon at all. No slime, no fucking choice awards. I don't know what they have there. No iCarly, no Hannah Montana. I want to wear that wig, you know? I want to tell stupid jokes and hear studio audience laughter and work with adult predators. So that's how she got discovered, I guess. And then from 1999 to 2002, she worked on Nickelodeon. So she started on all that. They put her on a few other shows, and then they gave her The Amanda Show, which apparently they modeled. It was supposed to be based on the Carol Burnett Show. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know about that, but that's fun for you. That's a big reach. So at that point, she is, let's see, 99. Oh my God. What, like 13 to 15. And so after The Amanda Show ends, Amanda starts doing movies. Well, wait, no. After The Amanda Show ends, Amanda Bynes starts working on, she gets a sitcom on the CW with Jenny Garth called What I Like About You. I actually remember watching that show. They were fine. After that, she did Big Fat Liar with Paul Giamatti and Frankie Muniz. So this is a real who's who of celebrity children. Followed by What a Girl Wants, She's the Man, Hairspray, Sydney White, and Easy A. So in She's the Man, she claims that this is kind of where she starts to falter a little bit. So first of all, she claims that she got Channing Tatum hired. What she says is that the director didn't want to cast him because he was so much older than the rest of the cast. She pushed for it and he was like, but he's so old. And she was like, listen, this is going to work out. And now he humps resentful people's faces as a job. And he seems like a pretty nice guy, actually, and he's a good celebrity, but all right, Amanda Bynes made him. Maybe she just wanted to touch his abs, because that's legit. I've recently started dating people with abs, and it is just wild. So it's, you know, there's like 4, 6, you know, they usually come in even numbers, but so she filmed that movie, which I remember being very fun. She claims that she's the one who pushed for hiring Channing Tatum, so she takes credit for his success. She didn't really say that, but kind of. And but at this point, she is, you know, what I read later, she's explaining a little bit about, you know, kind of the seedlings of her later emotional strife. So she mentioned that she started smoking weed at the age of 16. Wow, crazy. And, but when she filmed She's the Man, when it came out, she went to the premiere and she had such a severe reaction to the film. She was really unhappy with it because she played a boy. She was cross-dressing. The movie is based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And she played a boy in the movie and she hated how she looked as a boy so much that she was super self-conscious. She felt like she did a bad job. And then she went on to some pretty successful movies, which I didn't even remember, but Hairspray, killing it. Sydney White, I don't know what that is, but who cares? Easy A, that was a big deal. And apparently, she also remembers that when this movie came out, she hated her performance. Everybody was like, oh, this is great, critical acclaim, yada, yada. And she hated her appearance. She thought she looked fat, I think. And she thought she was horrible at acting. But the crazy thing is this. So this is all from 2002 to 2006. And during this time, she's also just popping. She is popping off. She's a crazy celebrity. In 2003, she was on the cover of Vanity Fair. In 2006, she was in Teen People in 25 Hottest Stars Under 20 5. And so she's making these movies. She's on the cover of magazines. She's out here. Everybody knows her. She's growing up, right? In 2007, she makes her own fashion line called Dear, D-E-A-R. So, okay, whatever. With the collegiate fashion brand Stephen Barry. So she starts that in 2007. In 2008, Stephen Barry files Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So they didn't make her pants or necklaces or whatever. Too bad. Woof. Your life is so hard. Apparently also, so in 2008, this fashion line folded. But in 2008, she also briefly dated Seth MacFarlane. What? Apparently she met him after performing, you know, she did a voice on Family Guy. And I cannot imagine what their kisses looked like. I feel like he's, I mean, absolutely a cartoon. I don't know how old he is. I guess he's around her age, maybe. I always assume he's like 47 to 58 based on his level of sarcasm, you know? It's like a child in a man's body, but with a lot of, I don't know, pervy jokes. So I guess maybe I would love to see it if they had a sketch show. Amanda Bynes and Seth MacFarlane appearing in What's Going On? It's Us, Amanda Bynes and Seth MacFarlane. I'd like to see them kiss. I feel like it would look bad. It just seems like weird. The vibes feel like they would clash, you know? Like a lot of celebrities, you see them and you're like, great. Like, you know, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. You see what I'm saying? It's like they go together. But Amanda Bynes and Seth MacFarlane seems like, I don't know, a problem on top of a problem, I guess. It's like when you put two magnets together the wrong way and they repel, you know? It's like your science project is going to shit. So she dated Seth MacFarlane. She's doing all these movies. They're critically acclaimed, but she feels like shit about her body. She thinks she's horrible. In her brain, she's like, I fucking suck. And she is on all these magazines. She's, you know, super famous. So she continues filming movies. In 2009, she was filming a movie called Postgrad. But she dropped out and they replaced her with Alexis Bledel, who I would love to like, but she's very boring. Beautiful eyes. Not a fucking thought in her head that I'd like to listen to. So she dropped out. Her next movie, she filmed Hall Pass in 2010. And then she dropped out, breaking her contract. They replaced her with Alexandra Daddario, which I don't know who the fuck that is. Didn't look it up. Don't care. At this point, so she mentioned that she had started smoking weed when she was 16, which is like, whatever, not a big deal. But when she, you know, obviously she had some body issues. And at some point she heard about what at that point, I guess they called, quote unquote, the skinny pill. She heard about Adderall. She went to a psychiatrist and she says she just faked the symptoms of ADD to get Adderall. And she started taking a fuck ton of this shit. And she mentions that when she was filming Hall Pass in 2010, she would be in her trailer chewing Adderall tablets because she thought it would get her higher, which is like tablets multiple. Everybody knows that you do, you know, if you're going to do Adderall, you do like some and then you chill because it's going to get you going. But she was chewing fucking Adderall tablets like candy in her trailer on the set. And she said her mind was just completely, you know, jacked up. She couldn't remember her lines and she was just all over the fucking place. So at this point she's smoking weed. But she's just cranking out that Adderall, which I mean, was huge. Adderall was huge, but I mean, if you take a bunch of it, it's just, you know, it's just speed. So you're, you know, maybe you're losing weight. You don't want to eat anything, but your brain feels like it's on, like there are fire ants in it and you're, you know, I don't know, real bendy and your jaw is always clenched, but she took so many. That's the thing too, is like taking so many of those that you can't remember shit is wild. It is literally a study drug. And I know that it probably affects me differently than other people because I do have ADD, but even Adderall is too much for me. I take it and it's fucked up. It's so strong, but she was doing so much of it that she just couldn't remember a fucking thing, which is nuts. So she starts, so in 2010, she dropped out of the past two movies. And then in 2010, she also announces her indefinite hiatus from acting. So this is where, you know, it's getting intense. She's talking about how dark this time was for her. And this is what how she described it. She said she would quote unquote wake and bake. So this is the darkest point in her life. She has like kind of a nice morning, but then she followed it up by saying she was talking about what she was doing in that period of time after she announced her hiatus from acting. And she said she was, quote, stuck at home, getting high, watching TV and tweeting. Hey, that sounds fine. It also sounds like what everybody is doing right now. Maybe don't nag us. This is kind of rude. And that sounds like a good day, actually. But I don't know if she's being coy or if her capacity to explain drug addiction, you know, is so low that she doesn't want anybody to know about it. Cause I get it. It sounds like this is relatable. Sounds like she's hates her body. She thinks she's shit at everything she does. She's taken a fuck ton of speed. She's smoking a bunch of weed at home and she's tweeting, which is like, yeah, so you essentially went to college. All right, whatever. So she's taking this indefinite hiatus from acting. And this is when shit starts to pop off. So she announced that in 2010. In 2012, she got, and this is always how the celebs start, you know, in 2012, she got a DUI in West Hollywood. So, you know, that's messed up. But I feel like with celebrities, if they get a DUI, it's like they weren't just drinking. They were like on cocaine and stuff. And I don't know why I think that. If it's like, I mean, because you could have a driver at any point. You've got money. You've got fucking people that work for you. And that's, you know, that's kind of a hick thing to do. Like what a fucking blasé way to get caught, you know? But so that's where it starts in two. And then the next year, in 2013, she is charged with reckless endangerment and weed possession after she was smoking. So this is what happened. She was smoking in the lobby of her Manhattan apartment building. Sick. Sounds great. The police came in. They allegedly, when they went in to her apartment on the 36th floor, the police entered and she threw a bong out the window. Which, see, here's the thing. This is a turning point because up until this point, it's like, I fuck with her, you know? The thing is, she's got probably body dysmorphia, mental health issues, drug issues, and she feels like shit about herself. And that is, I mean, that's your 20s, you know? So it's like relatable, kooky, probably still has fun outfits, too much speed, you know, your friend's getting on the wrong path. She's kind of fun to party with sometimes, probably a real pain in the ass, but she always brings the drugs. She smokes weed in her fucking apartment building. That sounds in the lobby. That sounds rad. That doesn't even sound like a big deal. She threw her bong out the window. That sounds fun as fuck. I realize now that since she was on the 36th floor in Manhattan, that was probably a huge hazard that could have hurt people. At first I was like, reckless endangerment for smoking weed. What does that mean? Oh, she threw glass out of a 36th floor window. But so this is when it starts to turn, you know? So this is just your party friend. And then you're like, oh, she was just smoking weed, you know, not a big deal. She kind of freaked out. She was smoking weed. She freaked out. And then in July of 2013, the Ventura County Sheriff's Department detained her for allegedly starting a small fire in a stranger's driveway in Thousand Oaks. Hell yeah, girl. Are you kidding me? This is when it turns. This is when your homegirl becomes over the edge crazy. And at this point, you know, you have to disengage. You're like, I still support you emotionally, but you are in a place mentally that I cannot follow you because you're going to pull me into some shit and I'm going to be on speed making fires. The funniest thing about this to me is that she is setting fires in strangers' driveways. And I don't know if you noticed, Thousand Oaks is where she was born. So I'm suspicious. Was it a stranger? Did she know this person? Was it an ex? Because if it's vengeance, then I'm back on board. You know, I'll hang out with her. So after she, and most of these things were dismissed. So in 2014, her DUI was dropped on the condition of a 3-year probation. In 2014, the charges of reckless endangerment and weed possession were dismissed. But then after this fire, so she was setting a small fire in a stranger's driveway. Girl, yes, go out in a blaze of glory, you know? I mean, in terms of hitting rock bottom, that is so fun. So after she the police found her setting fires in fucking, I don't know if it's a bougie area of California, but just in driveways. Like, what do you even do with a driveway? So they put her in a 72-hour, they hospitalized her in a 72-hour mental health evaluation hold, after which they gave her mom temporary conservatorship. So, you know, which is funny. It seems like a thing rich people do, because when poor people fuck up, they just go to jail, get out, and keep doing drugs. When rich people fuck up, start setting fires, they're like, hey, let's let your mom watch you for a while and manage your millions of dollars. I don't know how much money she actually had, but it seems like probably a lot. I mean, definitely more than me. I have like $60. So all this is happening. And then she starts getting real with the fucking tweets. Okay, so let's get into the tweets. When I started, I had a few details about the interactions that Amanda Bynes had with the law and a couple of tweets, and then I looked into them, and the number of tweets is staggering. As anybody who has drugs or a mental illness or none of those things knows about Twitter, you can go pretty hard in the paint when you are feeling pretty delicate. So she, at this point, is doing drugs. She's had trouble with the law, and she's losing her shit on Twitter. So she is messing with everybody from Chrissy Teigen to Courtney Love, including her parents. So I'm going to go over a couple of the, you know, most notorious ones. I think the one she's most remembered for is she wrote, "I want Drake to murder my vagina," which, you know, people were really stunned about that one, but it doesn't seem that bad to me. You know, it seems like, okay, what a sassy thing for a thirsty girl to say, you know? All right, that's not horrible. But then she followed that up with a bunch of other tweets about Drake. So I'm going to read these, and please excuse me because they're rough. So first she said, "I want Drake to murder my vagina," and she got a lot of backlash for that. But then she wrote, "They airbrush," and she's tagging these celebrities in this too. So they airbrushed at Drake to make his eyes look like he doesn't have Down syndrome. Followed by, "Drake has the ugliest smile, ugly gums, uneven teeth, ugly eyes." And then, "The only person uglier than Drake is his mom." And these would all just be lists and lists of things. And she wrote a bunch of stuff to Rihanna. She wrote a whole, she said, you know, something about Rihanna being ugly. Rihanna tweeted back at her, "This is what happens when y'all cancel intervention," which, you know, pretty chill way to handle it. And she unleashes on Rihanna saying, you know, she's not on drugs. She doesn't do drugs. And then she says, "Rihanna, you look so ugly." Oops, sorry. She says, "Rihanna, you look so ugly trying to be white. Chris Brown beat you because you're not pretty enough." So obviously she is off the deep end right now. And she's also taking a lot of Twitter selfies that are with varying levels, with varying amounts of clothing on. So some of them are topless, but she's got her hair over her nipples mermaid style. So not a big deal. That seems like something a lot of people would do drunk. But so she's doing that. She's doing all kinds of, you know, all kinds of stuff. Just like she said, just all day tweeting, like really manic. And she sent one to, and just kind of silly too. She, "You are ugly" at Miley Cyrus. And that's a U and an R. she got into it with Chrissy Teigen, who said she was mentally ill. And then she was like, you're an ugly old supermodel and you're ugly and fugly and stuff. Up until the point when she also mentioned Zac Efron, who was her co-star in Hairspray. She says Zac Efron has an ugly face. She also mentioned Lance Bass, and says he was mad that I ignored him on Twitter and he's just an ugly old boy band member. Ugly is a big thing for her. It almost seems like she's fixated on an appearance. And she also had an interaction with Courtney Love, which is ironic. Courtney Love tweeted to her, at Amanda Bynes, pull it together, dude. And that is wild, because if anybody had ever tweeted at Courtney Love, pull it together, dude, she would have gone off. She would have fucking snorted a line off their dick, punched him in the face, and thrown up onto their shoes. You know, like, what a funny thing. I mean, on one hand, it's like, okay, you know, you want to be like, hey, dude, just get it together, you know, like, have a cup of coffee, chill out, let's do this, you know, like, I get it, let's just scoot away from here. But on the other hand, it's like, does she think that she has some sort of, you know, authority in this sense? Maybe she has some compassion for her, but she tweets at Amanda Bynes, pull it together, dude, and Amanda tweets back, Courtney Love is the ugliest woman I've ever seen. To be mentioned by her at all makes me and all my friends laugh. So she's getting into it with celebrities, anybody she can find. And but she's got so many different things going on in these, you know, lines of tweets. I don't remember what they're called. The strings, whatever, the conversations, the replies. She's just tweeting tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. And, she starts getting into it with her parents and saying things like, nobody should listen to my parents. We're not on speaking terms. Don't believe anything you hear people say about me except what I tweet, which is pretty funny because that's a rough damage control, you know, except what I tweet. Well, all right, we're just going to believe it all then, I guess. But she starts writing these things. She also starts, you know, just trying to make moves, saying, I'm transferring to NYU or Columbia from FIDM to study psychology. So you'll see me in New York if you live here, but I hate stalkers. And then treat others how you want to be treated. The truth will set you free. And then don't believe anything the tabloids are saying about me. They dislike me for some odd reason, and they continue to insult me every day. Rude. She also says things like, okay, she said, workout flow, I feel dizzy. All right, chill. If I'm not following you on Twitter, I hate you. Okay, cute, whatever. I created the phrase ILY and LOLOLOL, asterisks, proud. And then it says baby.com and fried tofu. And then the next one is you are who you date, which, I mean, that one's kind of gold, you know? So it's like, but it's just one after the other. And those are all in the same day and probably, you know, the same 5 minutes. And then she starts, and she also gets into it with her parents. So she starts accusing her dad of a lot of different things. She also says things like, my mother tried to kill me and my dog. The voices in my head are driving me crazy. Whilst I was in the psych ward and those fuckers strapped me down, they planted a chip in my brain to constantly spy on me. She also mentioned, I was diagnosed bipolar and manic depressive, so I'm on medication and I'm seeing my psychologist and psychiatrist weekly, so I'm fine, smiley face. She also mentioned something about how her surgeon, she was born with webbing between her eyes and her surgeon removed it, and that was amazing. Not exactly sure what's going on, though. But about her dad, so she levels all these accusations at her dad about being an incestuous abuser. And then she says, my dad never did any of those things. The microchip in my brain made me say those things, but he's the one that ordered them to microchip me. So at this point, Amanda Bynes is starting fights with everyone. She's got Drake, she's got Rihanna, she's got Chrissy Teigen, she's got Courtney Love, she's got Lance Bass, both of her parents, pretty much anybody she can find, get her hands on. And I'm sure that is just the tip of the iceberg because she is manic. She is going wild. And obviously you can see that she's in, you know, probably a great deal of pain at this point. She's posting a lot of wild, you know, weird pictures, and you can just tell there's something off, the way that you can tell, you know, when somebody is using their social media as a way to reach out or, you know, you know, or it kind of displays their mania. It's pretty easy to see, you know, when somebody goes wild. So she's having problems with the police. She has this, you know, sensational Twitter presence. I mean, I still even remember her saying, "I want Drake to murder my vagina," which I think that's super funny that that's the one that got the most news, I guess, because Drake was the most famous, but that seemed like the chillest one to me. Like, okay, kind of inappropriate, but all she's saying is like, "I want to have sex with you," which is, I'm sure a lot of people tweet that at him, you know? So I think it's funny that that's the kind of the most sensational one that I saw in the news, in the tabloids, but I guess it makes good news. So she, you know, leveled these accusations at her father about being abusive, takes them back, says some unhinged things. And then when she pops up later, she credits her, you know, success, her sobriety to the support of her parents. So it seems like, you know, she's having delusions or hallucinations or something, but she's obviously in a very dark place at this point. And she is, like she said, she's stuck at home, getting high and tweeting all day. And she's got a lot of time. So, you know, she's tweeting a lot of stuff too about, you know, being an actress isn't what people think it is. I can't do it anymore. It's, you know, bad. So she has gone, you know, fully rogue at this point. She's having interactions with the police. She's insulting people on the internet that she doesn't know, reaching out and just a cacophony, like 7-10 different messages to those people telling them how ugly they are. So clearly at this point, she's not doing well. And this is the point at which she disappears. So she goes into treatment and we don't see her again until she emerges in 2018. Later, she reappears in 2018. They did a paper magazine article about her. So of course it's her looking great, doing a photo shoot. It's like, you know, I'm redeemed. See, I still look normal. I didn't do too much speed. But I mean, they can always put makeup over the speed. So at this point, so in 2018, they do this interview with her. She says at this point that she's 4 years sober, always saying with the help of my parents. So that's cool. She, at this point, she's also attending, she's getting an Associates of Arts degree at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, and she's studying merchandise development. So this school, she started her associates in 2013 and then was like, okay, and then I'm going to work up to my bachelor's, which is like, I don't know how that works, but it seems like if you're going to go to fashion school, just like go for the bachelor's. So, you know, she pops up in 2018, she's going to school, they do all these interviews, her teachers are like, oh my God, she is a joy to have everywhere. I am shitting out of my ass excited to be around her. Man, they really say a lot of sparkling things. And then, so it seems like she's getting her shit together. She's done the whole public reappearance, you know, post-treatment. She's 4 years sober. So where is she now? That's the question. Well, I will tell you. Oh my God. So in September of 2019, so we're fast forwarding here, Amanda Bynes gets an Instagram. She's on Instagram, which is like, okay, shit's going to go down, you know? She's supposed to be sober, but let's see what happens. This past month, in March of 2020, on Instagram, she announced that she was engaged to Paul Michael, which is such a generic name. It's like, what are your friends' names? George, Paul, and Garrett Jenkins. All right, well, I couldn't think up any normal names, so that's not even a joke, but Google those people later. Maybe they're a thing. So in March 2020, this past month, she announces that she's engaged to Paul Michael, who is she met in her Alcoholics Anonymous group. A couple days later, they announce on Instagram their breakup. A couple days later, she's like, hey, I'm going back to treatment. And then a couple days later, she announces on Instagram that they are in fact having their first child together and they're back together. When they broke up, she claims that their Instagrams were hacked, which seems like probably not. So within the span of a week, she's engaged, they break up. She goes to a treatment center and then they're having their first child, but they actually didn't break up because she said so. So 14 months sober, Amanda Bynes, getting out there. I hope your kid is hot. And that's Amanda Bynes for you folks. I had no idea that when I looked into this, Amanda was going to have such, now I'm on a first name basis with her, that Amanda Bynes was going to have such a crazy update now, currently in 2020. And it's like, oh my God, she's pregnant in a rehab facility during coronavirus and getting married to a fellow alcoholic, I suppose. So man, that's the fucking, I just dished it, but I had no idea she was popping back up like that. Cause usually when, you know, celebrities kind of go into remission from remission from being famous, they, you know, go work on themselves. They start like fucking painting or playing the guitar or some shit or like milking cows. And, you know, they try to calm their shit down. They're like, I'm a normal person. And they try to stay sober. They wear like wholesome jeans, you know, now they have like a higher neckline because they're chaste. But, so I expected her to still be in that, bubble, but, she's at it again. So I wish all the best to Amanda Bynes, but now, you know, that's her life. She's 34 now and she's just like us. All right, baby. And remember, if the cops come, throw your bong out the fucking window, especially if you're on the first floor, you know? Thank you so much for joining me this week. I had a great time learning so much information that's going to be useful later. I am the one who's being homeschooled right now, not the children of the world, not the seniors in high school who won't have a prom or a graduation. Listen, you'll have a memory. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to pay for the dress. You can stay home and Skype. You can TikTok. You can see people's fucking, I don't know, nipples on TikTok? Probably. I'm not sure. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I have had a great time. I think this went really well. And I think we are ready for a second date. You know, if you could be cool for like a hot second, could you, like, you need a haircut. But other than that, I think this went great. I had a lot of fun. If you want to find me, if you want to send me a message, if you want to learn more, you can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Instagram I use the most, at Lainey Lennertz. And of course, follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. That really helps me out. So I'm going to play you out this week to the sounds of me driving around the deserted streets of Chicago during the pandemic. Bye-bye.
I'm just passing the Logan Theater now on Milwaukee. It's like seeing a shot of a Wild West movie where the tumbleweed blows across the dusty town where nobody has lived for 25 years. Where it's just, you know, everybody there has gotten old and moved away, and the sheds, you know, got shabbier, and the horses got older, and the food got worse, and the drinking got persistent, and you know, this old town has a story to tell, but it's in the middle of a busy part of the city, you know, so it's like there are just a bunch of hip dudes around working from home on their computers, and you know, it looks like, you know, a desert. You know, I'm building something and I'd like you to build it with me. So let's be friends, let's hold hands, let's skip over the rainbow and let's say to one another, what's that good show on Netflix? I'm gonna watch it and man, it's gonna distract me because this shit is fucking nuts. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.